Good.
That's funny.
I don't have to hide.
Kirk getting ready for the podcast as only Kirk can. Well, I guess a lot of people can. So welcome to Comedians Fixing America. That's what this is. Comedians, the serious have had their shot and they have not done it. So we're going to put comedians in charge here for an hour and we are going to straighten out America. So put on your red, white, and blue clown nose. Comedians are here. We got ideas. I'm Dr. Dan, head fixer, comedian, American. Also do rhetoric warriors. Like to get in and mess with the minds. So that's the game I play. I bring on a co-host every week, and this week, my favorite people, Kentucky Kirk, sitting there in front of all his. Those are man-made, right? Or homemade?
A bunch of them are. All the very top row and most of the top or bottom row, most top row. So yeah, that's
that guy right there, that redneck right there with all that hair and those crazy glasses makes musical instruments. He makes high quality food, gourmet food. Well, this dude's got it. He's got it going on.
You gotta eat right, you know?
Well, it's good to have you here, man. I have had different people on here and I'm experimenting with how funny they need to be. And I think the main thing is you got to have ideas and you have ideas.
Well, it's hard not to sit there and open your eyes, you know, and ears, you know,
Jesus Christ. This has been a week, but it's always a week. Every time I put together one of the files for this thing, I'm like, my God.
I glanced at it. It's pretty amazing how much news happens these days. I mean, you know, you had the Oregon Trail had some news on it, but not nearly as much, you know, as what happens today, you know, because it's not just access.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine how tired the ponies would be on the Pony Express?
Well, shit, they'd be worn out, you know. I mean, they'd be like, you know, forget
dead ponies everywhere.
That's right. Forget the mail. We don't need that information. Ain't that important? You know, crap. You know,
well, let's launch in, man. Let's just see what's there. Labor Day. It finished up like Labor Day finished up this week on Monday, and it seems like already like a year ago.
Yeah, but why do we celebrate? What is the deal with we celebrate labor? Is that because we're tough and righteous in our good deeds and actions to build a big nation? Is that what the...
That's it. Yeah, that's right. Okay. It's not because we've all been oppressed by the man to get up and work every single day of our lives until we're too old to do anything fun and then we die.
Yeah. Is that why nobody wants to be patriotic anymore and doesn't want to, like, you know, agree with anyone else in the country or stuff like that?
Well, the question is patriotism and capitalism, when did they merge? You know, because like, I think it's funny how like all the supposed people who are using the word patriot, which by the way, we need to redefine, we need to do some reteaching on a lot of terms in this country, but patriot has come to mean I hate everybody and I'm not going to do anything at all innovative or progressive. And it's become a hate term, which is weird. But patriot mixing with capitalist, like capitalist is like Labor Day is a capitalist holiday. Mm-hmm. You know, it used to be that labor, there was so much labor that it organized itself enough to have some political power until Reagan came in. It's like, you know what? I think we're done with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you got to watch out for the socialists now when you start talking about labor.
Right. And, well, that was the thing. They were, you know,
yeah,
they were for the group. That's what socialism is, right? It favors the group.
See that people chafe a little bit physically. It's a warmth in their crotch when they hear you say that, and they don't know how to react. It's not a intellectual thing. It's a chafing when they hear you say socialism. It's just it's a physical.
Well, but do you get that same response out of capitalism? Like when I say capitalism, do you get it itchy?
Out of You can get it out of anything, just whatever you choose. You know,
but you personally, you were a capitalist for a long time. I'm a socialist inside of capitalism.
I'm a socialist. I'm a capitalist. I'm a music freak. I'm a I like pretty women. How many more do you want? You know, I mean,
you're a sexualist.
Yeah,
not a sexist. Sexualist.
Yes, there's a lot of different sections that work, and people need to be okay with that.
It's one of the interesting things about words, right? Is that if one side just decides, "Hey, we're going to make this word into this ugly pit garbage term," then they can do it.
Well, that's what I was thinking. That's where a big shift has happened in our communication in America. It's like, you know, since everything is possible, nothing's true. You know, so you have that principle working. Where you can't take away my right to believe, you know, that COVID's a lie, you know, all that kind of shit. You know, we've just gone totally a nutcase. You know, it's just completely.
Well, I have the freedom to kill you.
Yeah.
With my breath.
Yeah. Well, that's what we've gotten to now. And that's what I'm telling people now. I mean, it has become a simple binary decision from people. And it is, I have the right to jeopardize your life for my freedoms. That's just it. You can go all these different directions you want to with it, but
it comes down to that. Yeah. Or either you value the individual and their freedoms, or you value the health of a community. So I was saying, like, I think Florida now, DeSantis is now handing out spray bottles of COVID. You're just supposed to go around and just mist that right into kids' faces at school.
You know, but we are, when you think about it, and there's always a good side to this stuff, you know, and we have lived in a time where evolution moved so slowly that we couldn't notice it. But now we're seeing the IQ being raised of the southern states just in a rapid fashion right now. So
because we're culling the herd.
Yes. And so don't, you know, some good things
don't happen. Slow it down yet.
No, don't slow it down. I think if we can just we've got it to where I'm willing to just stay in the house for another few months and let all the fuck nuts, you know, burn through their lives, you know, and raise it up a little bit. So you know,
well, I mean, if you look at the news this week, there's always COVID news, right? So the stuff that have happened, ivermectin was the big thing at the beginning of the week. You know,
so stupid though. That's so stupid though. I mean, you just say horse paste, and who's going to take it? Well, by God, that's right.
And it works on horses. They're fast. They can outrun COVID.
Well.
What did they go through? What other medications did they go through before they picked that horse dewormer?
Right, yeah, I don't know. Mecarchrome, maybe they did. Isn't that like an old medicine that people always use? Mecarchrome. I don't know. Therapy's not working.
No, therapy's not working.
Or it's not going to work. You know, so well, I don't know.
The other things, so ivermectin, so they started taking sheep and horse dewormer.
Right.
Guy got booted from the Alamo. Did you see this? A Texas guy got booted out of the Alamo for not wearing a mask.
That's just perfect. I think it's just perfect.
Yeah.
I think
he was like,
they throw him over the they should have just thrown him over the you know, the wall.
Well, the cool part of it was if you check out the video, is that it's a couple of black sheriff's deputies with cowboy hats throwing a white cowboy hat guy, cowboy hat wearing guy out of the Alamo. Yeah. And I'm like, there's so much going on in this moment. And they're both yelling about freedom. He's like, well, you don't have the freedom to come in here without a mask. You know, and he's like, I have the freedom to not wear a mask. He goes, sure, but you don't have the freedom to come in here to not wear a mask. So it's dueling freedoms.
It is. What does freedom mean? You know, I think about what would Davy Crockett be thinking right now? Would he be, you know, trying to help the guys, you know, fighting at the Alamo? Would he be trying to save, you know, freedom? You know what I think he'd be doing right now is spinning in his grave because he'd be still alive, buried. And so he'd be freaking out. That was just a use of.
I got, yeah, yeah, you rolled yeah. right into that one. Yeah.
That was a different tense use.
Well, the Alamo, if you've ever been to it, is so small. Like it's a COVID yeah. ward. If anybody in the Alamo had COVID, they'd all died from COVID.
That's right. Well, that's, yeah. The Alamo's where you go when you're on a corporate trip and you want 5 minutes to fill. And so you go, you know, you go look in there.
Well, and it's ridiculous now. It's surrounded by yeah. tourism, like all yeah. this new build mall, kind of everything like this. You can put your picture in a wooden thing and be Davy Crockett and crap yeah. like yeah. that. And I'm like, okay, yeah. but that's yeah. that's the Texas heritage right there.
Texas people are really stupid. And I'm sorry, I know you live in Austin and you're allowed to carve out.
You expect me to take up for Texans?
No, I don't. I don't. But I'm just giving you credit for the fact that you chose to live there, you know, for a while. But these guys are pretty, they don't give a shit. They're like, you know, freedom or your death, you know, you're going to,
hell, you dying from my disease is actually that's kind of a benefit.
Well,
I kind of enjoy that as a Texan.
Kind of do.
That means I get to kill you and I don't have to take responsibility. Right, you can't be held liable for giving somebody else COVID, right?
Not yet. Not till Uncle Joe's in there making laws. He's gonna.
Yeah, he came out with a mask mandate for the federal employees last night.
Yeah. Well, he's doing vaccine mandates now.
That's what I mean, vaccine mandates. Yeah.
Yeah, which is, you know, just a horrible, horrible affront to freedom of all kinds. You know that obviously. And I don't know how we could, as a country, survive. You know, we could survive if all those people that think that's an affront to freedom don't survive. See, again, this is where
back to culling the herd
comes in. Yeah, it's the herd culling thing. So anyway, that's not.
You've had your freedoms abridged.
Oh, I've had my times.
Kirk freedoms.
All the time. I don't even have a freedom. Are you kidding me?
I was with you in New York when you were exercising your freedoms and. Some bartender decided you were beyond your freedoms.
He denied my freedoms. He sure did. But I was okay with it. You know, as long as it was expected and it was fair. So, you know, all that's
right. Okay. And he didn't do anything or just throw you out, but you tell me what freedoms would you grab if you were Kirk Miller? Like
what freedoms would I grab?
Yeah.
Oh man. That is such a hard, deep philosophical discussion. You know,
well, give me one.
Any freedom you're grabbing is taking away potentially other freedoms.
I don't care about any, like just one freedom that literally you would be like, I want that freedom where I can do this. I can walk down the street doing this completely free.
Okay. But I mean, we're close to one with legal marijuana. I mean, that's been a felt abridged freedom.
It's a limited freedom. You can't grow it, right?
You can't do a lot of things. From my viewpoint, it should just be it's your garden. It should not be. It shouldn't bother anybody. It's a freaking plant.
So you're free to buy it from a corporation.
I have different thoughts about that. Where I'm not sure there should be allowances for unfettered capitalism in something like that. It's hard to argue for unfettered capitalism in anything, but particularly in something that has been mischaracterized as it has. And
so you would grab marijuana freedom?
Completely.
Yeah.
If I wave the wand tomorrow and say, everybody got arrested for marijuana is out of jail, that's ridiculous. All marijuana you can grow it. You can't manipulate it and sell it and toxify it and all that kind of crap. You know, just you can grow a plant, you know, that kind of stuff. And so many problems go away. I mean, the money is gained and, you know, the money that's lost goes away. It'd be a point to where at some point soon after that happened, people are going to go in history. That was the dumbest damn thing in the world that they, you know, kept this.
It's
you know.
It's illegal to make your own alcohol, right? Or is it?
There's limits to that, at which
you can do home brew and you can do homemade wine.
You're not gonna OD smoking marijuana,
right?
Okay, so they are two different things going on.
Right. Here. So we're just talking marijuana. You're not talking opium.
No, alcohol's got to be regulated. It's got to be. I mean, it's a toxic.
Because it's dangerous?
It's highly addictive. It's a toxic substance when overused. So, yes, it should be. And I'm a proponent of all things bourbon, obviously, and, you know, that kind of stuff. But that's a chemical that humans don't react well to and need to be regulated. So that's okay.
But don't you think that's really when it comes down to it, the only way we're getting any of this stuff actually into the culture where you're getting this freedom is because we're matching it up with capitalism. And since the corporations can make money with it, they're the ones that are actually clearing the pathway politically to make this freedom a freedom.
Yes.
It was just a bunch of hippies still whining because the hippies have been whining about this for 50 years, ever since the 60s, right?
Yeah.
And they haven't gotten any headway.
Well, now we got headway. I mean, there's legalization going on in the States. So, yeah, there's headway.
Yeah, but that's legalization is just the precursor to the corporations being able to make money.
Yeah, well, that's another. Yeah, I understand. Well, but that wasn't the motivation of the early pot users.
No, but started to form up a little bit politically, then the corporations were like, hey, I think they're going to get, and then we're going to sweep in here behind it and make all the money.
Sure. That's the devil in our detail that we have to live with sometimes, you know. I mean, are we going, you know, it's the capitalism. Well, hey, you know, how do you use greed as a motivator to keep things equal? It's, you know, it's tricky.
How do we use a compromised human drive in order to make life better
exactly
for everybody? That's a good one. That's a good trick of language right there. All right, let's go into some more of these stories. The Dancing with the Stars lineup was revealed this week.
Yeah, who cares? But I want to hear, why is that? Why do we care about that?
It's the 30th year that show has been on, man. Well, 30 years.
Get up, stand up, and then one of them says, oh, that's wonderful, and they talk effeminately and stuff, and then they have weird people on. And, you know, you have, like, Sean Spicer.
Yeah, you know, but that there. Show... That is one of the most successful shows in history. 30 years of that show.
It just illustrates the level of thought that people don't give into life, you know.
I'm gonna read off some of the people who were picked this, and you tell me if you know them, because I knew two of them from sports, and the other ones I've never even heard of.
Okay, let's hear.
All right, Jimmy Allen.
No.
Country singer. No.
Country singer. That would make
sense. Never heard of him.
Okay.
Mel C.
I bet that's a hip hop artist.
Spice Girl, old Spice Girl.
Damn.
Christine Chu.
See, this would be so racist. Any guess I made for that?
Why? Like, it would be.
Well, I'm thinking was she a gymnast? You know, or.
No, she's in. She's a cast member of Bling Empire, which I have no idea what that is either. Empire.
No, either.
Melora Hardin.
Melora.
Melora Hardin.
That's a cool name.
It is a cool name.
Melora. Melorda, I have never heard of her. What does
actress.
She? Actress. Actress. Okay.
I don't know what she's been in. I'm just reading these off.
Yeah, I understand. These are the new people that don't get on good shows.
The Bachelor star. Can you name any of the Bachelor stars who this might be?
Oh, that's just that. See, that is just a suck of humanity, that kind of stuff. Why? You know, well, you know, is it Sadie Hawkins, you know, play? What is this?
Essentially, Matt James is that guy. I don't know him. One of the Talk co-hosts. Have you ever watched The Talk?
With Whoopi Goldberg?
No, that's The View.
Oh, that. No, I have not watched The Talk.
This is like a knockoff of The View.
Watch The Talk. Now, wouldn't that be good? Turn the sound off.
Yeah, and just watch the words. Amanda Klutz.
She's on The Talk?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Okay.
No idea. Real Housewife of Atlanta.
A Real Housewife of Atlanta? I'm aware of that show, but no, I don't know any. I know some Real Housewives.
I was going to say, You know, those are not real housewives. Right. Like, I've seen real Georgia housewives.
Yeah, yeah.
And those are not them.
I have relatives that are that, you know, and but they, well, now some of them are like, what a little brief of what I, let's go on, move on.
Kenya Moore, that's who that was.
Okay.
Iman Schumpert.
Iman Schumpert. Is this a, like a operatic star?
He's very tall. He's very tall.
Oh, it's a he.
Yeah.
Is he an Iman? Isn't that like a, like a religious person, an Iman? No.
Yeah, what is that? That's
No, that's David Bowie's wife.
Iman now, Schumpert. See, I, no. That sounds really close though, right? That it's something like that. This guy plays in the NBA. I think he's he's African, I think, like from Africa. And well, there you go. I don't know. Like, the thing that's new this year is they're actually allowing a same-sex dance partnership.
Oh,
first time ever.
Oh, that's a great. Now, are they non-binary?
It's not, or one of them's a pansexual. It's two women, I think, or they present as women. If you had to guess, I don't know what they are for sure.
Does it give you an advantage somehow in that competition?
Good question. My real question though is how you do ballroom dancing for 30 years with about 400 or 500 people and never have two gay guys.
Well,
that's ridiculous.
Well, they, you know what God says about that kind of stuff.
I don't. I haven't consulted. What does he say? Thou shalt not dance together.
Gay dancing, right? That's the 12th commandment.
They have all these shows that are clearly for, you know, alternative communities and are loved by different communities, and yet they're not really represented in those communities. Well, like The Bachelor's never had; it's never been gay.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if it has.
I don't think there's ever been a gay guy on there.
Well, were there gay dancers, like, you know, Fred Astaire, was he gay?
I don't know, but come on, ballroom dancing and that kind of the flair and the that sort of tradition in that seems perfect for a lot of gay community aesthetics. Like, it seems like a something that clearly the gay community would probably excel at.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Well, you know, the gay community, they like bald people. I've heard that a lot. Your hair looks great, by the way, Dan. I just was going to tell you.
Thanks. I had it did.
Yeah, Danny.
You ever go bald? Another big story this week, Blue's Clues. Did you see this?
I did not see this. I know what Blue's Clues is.
So the original host of Blue's Clues, who was on Blue's Clues when my kids were little, and they hated it. They thought he was stupid. They didn't like Blue's Clues, but the original host just left. Like, he just suddenly was gone, and they replaced him with a bigger version of him that was supposed to be his cousin, who wasn't nearly as engaging. So, like, it was a big thing during, for all the little kids who love Blue's Clues, that Steve just disappeared.
Oh, well,
but he came out this week and made a video. I guess he's, how old is he now? He's got to be in his 40s at least, explaining why he left to the kids. It was a new Blue's Clues video.
So the show is still going.
I don't know if it is or not. I think it was canceled.
Okay. And so
show's 25th anniversary, still on.
25th anniversary, and it's broadcast all over the world for youngsters. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what is the premise of the show? This is how ignorant I am of this show.
Well, it's kind of a dumber Mr. Rogers.
Okay.
Like, he talks really slow, and he had a few bits that he would do, and he had a chair that he would sit on. It was kind of virtual 3D. He had these things floating in that would come in. They were animated. I don't really remember a lot about it. And then there was a blue dog who was trying to figure out something.
Oh, so, okay. So where does the blues come in? Do they ever
the dog was blue, and the dog was like a detective and had to figure something out, I think.
That sounds like a terrible show to be on 25 years.
The bar is low for 3-year-olds.
Well, it is. It is, but Man, I'm going to have to check that out because my children are older than yours, I think. We were not a big Blues Clues.
Did you do the Wiggles? They weren't around. The Wiggles
weren't around. No,
Teletubbies.
My youngest is 28.
Yeah, they were far removed by that time.
And they were doing other weird, stuff. Well, what was the weird? I can't remember his name now. The guy that got caught masturbating in the
Pee Wee Herman. Yeah,
Pee Wee Herman. I thought he was brilliant. I mean,
he was funny.
That was a brilliant show. I mean, it was, when you can stand there in fantasy with your kids and the adults and it's, and the guy was, it was brilliant.
Yeah, I agree. That thing actually had some texture to it.
Yes.
Most of the kids shows, they don't have that irony. You know, they don't have a really interesting, articulate central character.
And they thought, it made them think, made my kids think, I remember that happening. I mean, it was a good show.
Well, my favorite thing about the Blue's Clues video is the guy came out and he didn't really tell why he left. He just said, we're older now and I just want to say I know I left too soon and I'm glad we're still friends. So it was a denial. It was like a non-apology from a cartoon character who didn't ever tell us why really he left.
So why why did he come out to talk about this to the was he just
because he had about another 2 minutes left of fame when anybody would care at all.
I gotcha. Well, that's really sad for for someone like that.
I remember too, there are all these stories, like whenever it's a young male that the mommies are fantasizing about them, that a lot of them kind of liked Steve. That was a thing.
I see. Well,
I thought maybe that's why he left,
I think this needs to be looked into deeper. I'm going to have to find this out because
do some research.
It seems like this Blues Clues guy is still around somehow in the background. We're so close to 9/11. I think about how things can go off the rails,
Well, speaking of cities and going off the rails, here's an interesting one. I think you'll have something to say about this.
Okay.
There's a guy, a billionaire, who unveiled plans this week for a new city he wants to build from scratch in the middle of the desert named Tolosa. Horrible name, bad sign that he picked a horrible name to start. Billionaire Mark Lowe, and he says that it's going to cost $400 billion. Build it from scratch. What do you think? What would you, if you were the architect?
Well, I wouldn't have designed it to look like Dubai, which is the same thing.
It does look like Dubai.
Oh, does it? Well, then, that's boring. That's be creative. We've discovered the Jetsons look. We explored it. We had a little fun with it, plastics and all that kind of stuff. But we still like stone, in our construction. You like stone, Dan?
Stone's one of my favorite hard materials.
Construction materials. And so, if they're going to build a city, do that. Now, is this a restricted community?
Surely it's going to have to be. You can't just move into Tolosa.
Well, but what kind of restrictions are going to be? See, this is what makes it interesting. I mean, I'm not against restricted communities, we should restrict all the Southerners to their states right now. There's reasons for doing it.
I like the idea of gated communities, which are really prisons in reverse, right?
Yeah.
So inside, you can't get inside. Everybody who they're in there and they're keeping everybody else out as opposed to keeping everybody in.
Well, it's more of a status thing too. I was in the real estate industry for 35, almost 4 years. And I always get tickled at little things that people would do. Now this was back in the days when two years ago when I had my haircut and I looked decent. Anyway, but it was always things like they would, there'd be like the little podunk little ass subdivision they put up, but they'd make a sign on the front that said deed restricted community.
Right. That's
what they put on there. And stone, they put that sumbitch on there. Now, of course, if you have any brains at all, you know that every community in the country is a deed restricted community.
So yeah. You have to have a deed to be right.
It is completely meaningless, except that it's very meaningful for people to have that. you know, out on their front thing.
Well, that sounds like marketing right there. That's a good definition.
It's all it is, but it's the worst kind. It's the, you know, it's the elitist, I can restrict you from me.
I think if you're going to have a gated community, and we look for new ideas here on Comedians Fixing America,
yeah,
you should have go the whole way. You should have like the front gate should be like Buckingham Palace.
Yeah.
They should have the big hats. There should be horns. Whenever you come in or out, they should have to play some type of.
Some sort of salute. Yes.
Yeah.
And you can have your own, you know, the Kentucky one could just be the, you know, thing they do. Yeah.
And they announce you leaving now, Mr. and Mr. Mrs.
Miller,
Kirk Miller.
Yes. Are leaving the palace now. And so, yeah, no, I think that would work. It just, it would probably be toned down based on the budget, you know, of the deed restricted community. You know, it might not.
Yeah. But think of the really rich ones, the things they could do.
Oh, shit. You can do all kinds of stuff. You
a moat. Just, how about a moat?
You could stop. If you had enough money, you could probably stop time and make everybody just watch you come out. Wouldn't that be the best thing in the world?
I think they should have a moat, and I think it should be ringed with really massive screens so you can see how good life is inside the gated community.
Inside the gated community. I agree. Speaking of moats, somebody got eaten by an alligator down there in the flood. Did you see that?
Oh yeah, but in New Orleans, like an alligator get washed up high enough to
eat one.
That's a tough one. That's a tough way to go out. Getting eaten by an alligator in your house.
You know, you're wading, you're going through the water, and all of a sudden you're under. You know, I mean, what do you do?
I'll tell you what, God wants you at that point.
Targeting your ass. You
did something called.
That's right. Especially when that gator intentionally went for you. That's right. Well, Dan, it's a sad day when we have alligators beating the humans, you know. But it's happening.
Like in the long history of the war between alligators and humans, what do you think? What is the lead humans have right now?
You've got a big lead because they, you know, when they got weapons. You know,
what about we're like maybe what 200 million to
but
1,000?
I prefer to look at it this way. How about all of the humans got eaten before steel was invented? See, so I bet you don't know how many were eaten.
That's a good question. Are we tracking all from the beginning of time? How many alligators have eaten humans
versus how many
humans have killed alligators?
I bet the gators are in the lead. Because they've been around.
Has there ever been a gator that just killed a human and just left it? They always eat them, right? So it's just food.
They eat them up. That's protein, baby. They're going after it. And these gators have been around since millennia. You know, I mean, these are multi, you know, thousands of year old, you know, evolved things. So, no.
Has a gator ever skinned a human being and turned it into footwear?
That would take a little more.
See, I think you got to give us a little bit of an advantage because we don't just kill the gator.
Yeah, I agree. We beat him on evolution in the thinking part, yes.
Well, let's say just in the last 1,000 years, since civilization, how many human beings have been killed by alligators, you think? Crocodiles across the world.
Crocodiles, alligators. How many would I think have been eaten? Oh, I'd say, 8,000. Maybe 8,300.
Yeah, sorry, single digit thousands, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be a bunch of them.
We kill just in Florida? How many gators to just clean out Florida?
Yeah. And they live around the Amazon basin. You know, they eat them all the time down there. They eat the humans a lot down there, I would think, still.
I would think you would know after all this time how to stay away from a gator if you live in the Amazon.
Yeah, but
they're sneaky. I get it.
But there'd be dumb people too. Just cause they're all, you know, I mean, there's dumb people in all categories.
So we need that. I think we got it. COVID gators.
That's right. That's right. There's evolution going on with the COVID gators. That's exactly right. Well, you know, but listen, I've known a lot of people from Florida. And so it takes the nice way of saying this is that it takes all kinds of intelligence, man. You know, A nice way of saying it is even my kind, you know, or your kind, but there are notable kinds of intelligence, you know, and we, I don't want to dwell on that, but you know this thing.
I've noticed that there's a variety. Like, I think America needs to do more mental Kegels.
Yeah, maybe so.
You got to get a thing moving, man. You got to tighten it up.
Tighten her up a little bit. Well, but see what we've seen here, and you, Dan, you really get my, my thought processes going. What's happening here is that it boils down to this: stupidity is being rewarded and encouraged for the sake of self-worth and rights. You know, it's like,
Sake of politics, like let's look at this at the reality of it. All of this is being done for politics. I mean, it's kind of being done for media ratings because you can make money off the stupid.
Yeah.
But really, it's the political powers that be are like, hey, if we rile up these stupid people, we can cause all sorts of trouble for the other side. They can't get anything done, and then we can blame them for things not getting done.
Right. No. Yes, of course, they're manipulating from that side. Yes, and they're getting all upset. But what about the point of view of the people who are genuinely riled up and enjoy this? And this is their stimulation.
Oh, I totally agree. They get genuine emotion out of it. It's just
out of disembodying, you know, America, you know, in a sense. You know, it's like, anyway, so it's.
Well, let's see what you think of this story. Okay.
All right, I'm here. Yes.
Ford pulled out of India this week, which sounds weird.
It does. You say it out loud, it does sound kind of weird. I don't know who this Ford guy is, but anyway, yeah, go ahead.
But finally, they pulled out. 25 years they've been in India
manufacturing automobiles.
Well, I guess, yeah, that's why they were in India.
Or something. Well, I mean, they
do automobiles, sure. And the idea was back in, I guess, early the 90s, that India was going to be this burgeoning market like China. Yeah. And as they got more and more capitalists, surely they were going to want to buy a bunch of carbon, you know, destroying cars. And so we've got to be there and ready to supply that.
Right.
It never worked out. They lost like $2 billion doing this.
Yeah.
Well, turns out Indians don't really want to buy American cars.
Yeah, they don't want cars, I believe, is part of it as well. Because why do you need a car when there's 18 million people within a 4-square-mile area? I mean, where are you driving to? You just walk, you know, you're at the end of the country after, you know, you've seen 80 million people and then you run into an alley. You know, what the hell?
Well, it's really interesting to see, like, America went through this back in the 50s, like after the war, and they're like, what are we going to do with all this machinery? Yeah. Well, we've got to build a bunch of roads so we can sell a bunch of cars.
Yeah.
And one of your beloved cities of New York was split in half by the different freeways that went through there. And they tried to turn it away from a walking city into a driving city.
Right. Detroit. I mean, name a bunch of Detroit and all that kind of stuff.
Right. And so they're figuring out, like, well, now we can just export this system to other countries like India and China and all that. And apparently they found out this week that, this is not going to work. We can't destroy this country the way we destroyed America with our cars and our roads.
Mm-hmm. You may not know this, but NASCAR is starting a whole racing series of cars that are fueled on, they burn coal is what it is. They're going to burn coal and run NASCAR races.
Is this a joke or is this real?
I think it's a perfect plan.
It is a perfect plan.
True, but I think it'd be a great plan.
Yeah, I would watch. Everybody in the stands just turned to like black soot. Like
black soot's coming out left
like the
and
miners.
Right.
Oh, yeah. But you know what they should do?
Coal, baby.
And this is a good idea. I like this. This is a good comedian fixing American ideas.
Okay.
They should run those races underground through the old mines.
Now you're really cutting audience down, but still the danger.
You have cameras down there.
That's true. You can do that. That's true. don't be messing with my coal, boy. But
oh my God, what? I think the The canary is not looking healthy. Not looking too good. Get out of there, Earnhardt.
Hey, at canary, that's fake news. At canary, come on.
Jeez. Oh, it doesn't work.
No, I'm kidding. It means death, but people have. You know.
Oh yeah, fake news. That canary looks fine.
Yeah, that canary looks fine.
That was one of the first jokes that I wrote that got me hired at Late Late Show at CBS. We used to have a sponsor for every episode. And one of the jokes I wrote in my writing sample packet to get hired was, tonight's show brought to you by Canary Air Masks. Nobody deserves to die in a coal mine.
Oh, boy, that's dated as shit. But, you know, it's funny. That's pretty good.
Well, yeah. Got to think of that canary, you know?
Well, that's right.
Why is that canary's life more valuable than those miners?
Well, so energy is an important thing, and I understand where the guy that went up in the space rocket doesn't count. It doesn't count as an astronaut because it veered off course. Which one was it? Oh, it was the first one, the English guy that did it, and now it doesn't count as a.
Oh, Branson didn't actually make it to space.
Thank you. Doesn't count as being an astronaut because it veered off course. They didn't talk about it, but it veered off course. So it was not a controlled flight. It went up high enough, but it wasn't a controlled flight. So I think that's an important thing to know.
That billionaire, sorry, buddy, you are not celestial being.
No, you talk about capitalism. That is the most grotesque expression.
Most capitalist thing ever.
It is. It's just, you know, give me $8 million and I'll send you up there for 20 seconds. And, you know, now how much have we gained in the science, you know, advancements of that? I don't know. Oh,
Richard Branson going to space?
Yeah.
That changed the future of America. We learned something.
Yeah, has that helped the world? I don't know.
I don't know either. No. Well, let's see what else we got here. Other stories to poach from. Greg Abbott down here in Texas said he's going to put a lot of effort out to stop rapes because abortion is now illegal here. So he's going to make sure that he's going to get rid of all the rape.
Boy, I was so moved by his strong statement about eliminating. But let me be clear. Rape is wrong,
and we're going to eliminate
from the world
rape. Strong stand against rape.
Against
rape. That is political courage.
Boy, that really makes me stop and think when you say I'm against rape.
Of course, you know the left loves rape.
They're completely for rape. They're rapists. They just rape during the day for fun at lunchtime.
I mean, there's a whole thing. I always keep track of what the right's doing this week. So there was that. Trump praised the Robert E. Lee statue being removed.
Well, weren't you?
And Robert E. Lee. He said Robert E. Lee would have ended Afghanistan or the war in a day.
Absolutely. Would
have ended the Civil War in a day if we had had him on the side of the North.
All I could think about was wishing that strap would break after they had lifted that statue off. I just wanted that little thing to be going, and then just fall down and smash, but it didn't. You know, we've removed some statues here in Kentucky, you know, Confederate statues, which was fun. The process.
Were you there? Did you go?
Yeah, it was up street. The Castleton statue, when they pulled it down.
What did he do, Castleton?
He was a Confederate soldier, officer. That
just looked good in the uniform, or did he do something?
Well, he tried to overthrow the government. So they, you know, it's a little tense. The history is a little, it's not as confusing to people now. It's pretty clear, you know, what's happening. There's a big for hundred years, people were not, they weren't sure. But did they lose really? I mean, do I have to really say that was, but you know, so there was
they're still losing. The South is still losing.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know it. You just got
their statues.
Oh yeah. got a good put a good put face on. No, that prick from Texas, that governor, he, you know, and he's, you know, and he's, he can't walk, you know, he's in a wheelchair. So that makes you kind of go, damn it.
Can't take a full shot at him.
You feel like you can't really attack him as hard, you know, that kind of stuff. And so you can just act like an idiot. That's bad for me to think that, but it's true, you know.
No, it's part of his political thing. Like, you have to, you know, it has to be factored in. I mean, I remember when he came down with COVID, what, last week or the week before, and they showed all the pictures of people leaning down to hug him at a fundraiser, you know, and I'm like, good God, dude, why don't you just, you know, just make out with everybody at the place just to make sure they get COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
that's going to be the new thing. You have to make out with somebody who has COVID. Trump says he's going to call the Holyfield fight tomorrow night on 9/11.
It is tomorrow night, isn't it? Yeah, he's going to call that fight. Well, that the Holyfield fight.
Oh, is it the guy's 58. He's my age. He's 58. He's fighting.
Is he going to fight Trump? Is Trump going to fight?
Can you imagine how great that would be?
I would pay the highest pay-per-view cost to watch that. I would watch that.
Well, of course, Trump came out and was like, I'll take on Biden. You know, I'll fight Biden. Yeah. And he'll go down in a minute. And I'm like, I would watch that too.
I'd watch that too. Biden would outsmart him. He would, you know, he'd like move out of the way and Trump would fall over. Anyway, well,
you know, this is not new. Like, if people remember after George Washington retired, you know, he called nude mud wrestling matches. I don't know if you remember that or not. But.
Yeah, I do remember that. Because they had that plastic liner.
Yeah, he invented the plastic, and it was made of hemp, if you remember.
It was a hemp, that's right. They had to replace the mud a lot. But
I do think every president, after they retire, they've had all this dignity and gravitas in the office. We ought to force them to do shit like that.
Do shit like that, yeah. Well, like, who has done?
You're now the new host for Dancing with the Stars.
Gerald Ford would play golf, you know. So stuff like that. So
yeah, but that's dignified. You can play golf in a dignified way.
You know, he only mishit one golf ball. You know who blew that up, that whole thing up? Chevy Chase.
Oh, yeah. See, well, the comedians
blew up the myth that
the comedians can do some damage when we really want to.
He did it there. He pegged him for
what else life. Would you have a president do like that's silly? George Bush would be great. That guy's such a clown.
Yeah, well, he would do clownish stuff.
He would.
Sometimes, anyway, he'd dance stupid, you know, and do all that kind of stuff.
I could see him doing that. What's that game where they knock people off things into the water with big...
Yeah, just do jousting stuff, yeah, with little things, yeah. Obama would make fun of himself.
He had a little bit of a sense of humor. He could kind of tell a joke.
TV stuff that was kind of that way.
What would Obama be good at? What show... can we throw Obama into that?
He's dangerous because, you know, he's interested in entertainment and movie. You know, he's produced movies and all this kind of stuff.
I'll tell you what we do. We have a show called, not The Bachelor, The Adulterer. And he's going to be the adulterer. Yeah. And, like, he's got to pick who's going to be his mistress.
Well, Michelle, but... You mean just as a show, as a real, you know,
a TV show. And so she's like, Michelle's always like lurking in the background. Like as soon as he picks somebody, she's going to take him out.
She would whip his ass.
That's the end of every episode. He picks somebody and she whips her ass.
That's a good idea. We need to suggest that too.
Yes. I think that's the idea of the day for us, the adulterer.
Your show, you can do the adulterer. Oh God,
that's a good one.
He was a good guy. How about Afghanistan? How do you think that's going?
Well, we're past our Afghanistan phase. We had our week of caring.
Oh, okay, I guess.
And now it's pretty much nobody cares anymore.
Right? Well, that's right. That's
so
right.
I was playing a game with everybody earlier last 2 weeks. Name one person from Afghanistan.
Oh yes, you can't. Yeah, I heard you do that. That's right. No, you can't do that. No, nobody knows anybody from Afghanistan.
Well, nobody.
There'll be a few soldiers that know somebody. you know, that was over there, but not, you know, not the people that are full of outrage.
No, Americans, no. There are 350 million people here. Yeah. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
And suddenly we care again about Afghanistan. It's going to last a week.
Yeah.
You know, and then it'll start losing some of its political juice and they'll try to drag it back up and all that. But yeah, we're done with Afghanistan.
The political juice is fun though. And that's what, you know, when I say Fox News, I mean at all, you know, I'm just talking about that right wing, you know, you got the one, whatever bullshit and all. But you know, they all rhyme. They all say the same stuff, you know, they're all there. And so they're going to continue, you know, obviously the people that don't think and just follow have decided that, you know, Biden is evil and he's got blood on his hands and, you know, and all this kind of hoorah going on. But I do think it's one that has really going to backfire to the right wing. And a lot of this is starting to happen, I think, in the Fox echo chamber. It's starting to backfire on them now because they're doing this, you know. I mean, what's the Afghanistan thing is an example of 70%+ of Americans today say it was the right thing to get out. Today. I mean, there was a poll, you know, they do them every damn day, these polls. And Fox News is all, you know, well, it was terrible. They shouldn't have done it. They should have, you know. So I'm saying,
like, when your whole political strategy is just to take the opposite of whatever is done.
Correct.
And, you know, shit on what was done. Like, it's just a slander strategy.
Yes.
Sooner or later, you're going to end up in a weird position where you're praising.
You're having to disagree with, you know, your mother is, she is your mother. No, she isn't. You know, you get into that bullshit, you know, that lunacy, you know, that's going on. So anyway, I'm enjoying them kind of shooting themselves in the foot a little bit here.
All right, here's another story. Jennifer Lawrence. You know who Jennifer Lawrence is?
Oh, she's a Louisville girl. She got
She
got a huge. She grew up just right down the street from here, a couple of neighborhoods away, and they have a big old. You know, they got one of them big pictures blown up. You know, in the city of all the famous people. You know, in the city. So Jennifer Lawrence, she's down near the waterfront.
Maybe that's what they should have done with the Confederate statues: is replace them all with hot Southern women.
Well, who's
statues?
I mean, my thought is Jennifer Lawrence. Okay, but you know, who wants to fuck her? I mean, is she that good? Oh, I guess she is good looking. Yeah,
no, it's not so much. I mean, she's fine. She's an attractive person, but
she's very
like
beautiful.
A really hot Southern woman, like the hottest. Have a contest, you know, a good Southern contest, and cast her into bronze and replace that statue, and more people admire that statue over the next 100 years than who would ever have given a shit about that guy on his horse.
True. Well, I'm glad.
Jennifer, Southern women.
I'm glad Jennifer's going to have a child. She's a good actress. You know, and I didn't see what's that movie that she became famous with? See, I can't remember. I don't watch media anymore. What's that?
Well, she had a few, and now she's pregnant. They lend themselves to jokes.
No, the big.
Apparently she found a winter's bone.
There you go. See? Yeah.
And silver uterine play line. You know.
Well, don't make fun of Jennifer. She's sweet.
I'm not. I'm just mixing. Now you've got maternity with her movies. You can make a top list. That's all Letterman does. It's like you're the top movies now that Jennifer's pregnant. You know that how did she get pregnant? Well, winter's bone. Come on, we all
I get the reference there,
did you watch that movie?
No, I haven't.
That is a hard scrabble movie right there.
I don't really do that much.
Like movies.
I don't have the patience. I don't sit there with the patience. Occasionally there's some good movies that, you know, that I will.
Well, let me hit you with the plot of Winter's Bone and see if you're more drawn to watching it after you hear the plot.
It's called Winter's Bone. Okay.
Winter's Bone. So a woman, you know, late teens, or early 20s, her dad is a meth dealer and has gone missing. And so he put up their house for bail. And she has two little kids, a brother and sister. And her mom has lost her mind because she was married to a meth man. So she's not present anymore. and she's going to lose the house if she can't prove that her dad is dead. But he's been taken apparently by the other hillbillies who knew he was starting to talk to the law, and they killed him. And they won't tell her where they put the body so that she can prove that he's dead.
Oh, poor Jennifer.
Poor Jennifer. It's a tough situation.
That does sound bad. Yeah, does
but she works it, man. She works that hillbilly hollers and you know, all the people, and gets beat up bad. And
yeah,
but she finds her dad. Do you want to hear the ending or?
Yeah. I'll never go see it. You know, I don't care. Yeah.
So they finally take her to her dad, and they've sunk him in a pond and weighted him down, and she can't take the whole body back. So they make her, they have a chainsaw, and they're like, get down there, girl, cut his hands off. So you got proof. And she had to cut both.
Jeez.
Because apparently somebody had just pulled him one at one time. It's like, well, he just cut off one hand. We can't believe that. But I guess with a chainsaw, you can't cut off both of your own hands.
Yeah. That would
so she had to take a bag of her dad's hands to the deputy.
This is why I don't watch movies.
Hard Scrabble movie.
Hard Scrabble. Well, it's hard Scrabble life. It really is.
She was good at it. I mean, you believed that she was traumatized by.
I know she's a good actress.
Chainsawing her dad's hands in a pond at midnight.
Well, that's kind of like the hobbling. What was that movie where?
Misery.
Misery, where he beat the feet and broke them, hobbling that one.
Yeah, well, they didn't show it that much. Like, the thing about Misery is that they showed those prosthetic ankles being broken. I do not want to see anything that well filmed ever again.
That was, bad.
I did not sign up to be traumatized by this movie.
Yeah. Well, what else happened this week? There was something else that was on my mind in the news.
Well, there's a bunch still, like France banned unvaccinated Americans.
Vaccinated Americans is good. The French doing something smart, you know, as usual.
The French, you know, taking a stand against COVID. They're not surrendering to COVID.
No, that's right. Well,
Hugh Jackman's dad died on Australia's Father's Day.
Oh.
Which sounds fishy.
So why do I like Hugh Jackman? He's an actor. I get it. And then... has he done something like good for humanity other than just acting?
He seems like a nice guy. He does Tony Awards, like he sings and
Okay.
He seems like a good dude.
There's value in that, you know. But you know, only if I enjoy the entertainment.
Right. If he was a bad actor, we wouldn't give a damn about him.
Yeah, that's right. So there's some value to that. Well, but his father died on Father's Day.
Yeah, Australia's Father's Day, which I don't know what the difference is exactly.
Why doesn't he just decide that he celebrates a different Father's Day, and that way he wouldn't have died on Father's Day?
I don't know. They ruined Father's Day for him. I know that. So
yeah,
then it's always going to be compromised.
Celebrate a different Father's Day since he's dead. Okay.
A couple other things. A hunk of Elvis's hair sold for $72,500.
No, I thought it was a little low. Actually, the price for that hair, because
Elvis is fading. He's fading. Come on.
Maybe so, but you know, maybe it's not a hunk of burning love. That little bit of hair. Have you ever been to the his place there in Memphis?
I have not. I've driven through Memphis a bunch, but I never stopped and went to Graceland. I always wondered if you might see his ghost sitting on the toilet.
That'd be good.
You know, that would be worth it.
Yeah, because he did look like literally die taking a shit, right?
Yeah. I always said there's no way he faked his death, because even a redneck would not be like, all right, I got an idea here, man.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to get out of all this, and I'm going to fall naked on the floor of the toilet. Off the
like
toilet.
This, y'all, I'm shoving. Yeah, here we go. Jeez.
Yeah, that's a tough way to go, Elvis.
Put his airplane there in the yard, which is another stupid parking situation. I mean, I don't know how you could have room.
I didn't know that. He had airplane in the yard.
Yeah, his airplane is, they put it there in the yard.
Oh, it's in the yard.
Yeah, it just sits there.
You know, you're getting to the point where the legend of Elvis is kind of gone. His fans are all kind of dying off. You're going to have to do more, like an animatronic Elvis theme park where he's sitting on a toilet and you get to see him fall off and then he gets back.
But he's kind of in the iconic career, you know, the country. So people kind of, you know, Elvis.
I don't know. I think he's going to fade out. Elvis
Costello, you know.
Sure, but like Marilyn Monroe still stays. She makes $25 million a year.
Yeah, just
from her image still.
Being dead. Yeah, I know. Well, that's, you know, it's hard to figure what humans want, you know.
Is it?
I think so. Because that, you know, I'll think for a minute or two, you know, humans want certain things, you know, like, you know, not dying, you know, stuff like that. But then you find out, well, no, that's not the case.
That's not really, yeah.
Yeah. That's not
there really. Is a whole meme now of, you know, anti-vaxxers, their last words has become a story theme of, yeah, I wish you got vaccinated. And then they're gone just like that.
When they don't get out the last syllable, the last D, vaccinate, and then I wish I would, that needs to be like an ant. I'm gonna put that on my answering.
Yeah, do that.
I wish I had vaccine, and that's it.
And they're gone.
And they're gone.
Well, do you want to take the weird quiz? I do a weird quiz every week.
Oh, absolutely. Please.
All right.
Now this is. Do I know the anyway? All right, go ahead.
Yeah, this so the rules are you have to deliberate out loud your choices.
Okay.
Right. Why you would not want one or want one more, and that's the whole fun of it, to hear your thought processes. Okay, so the oldest profession that you would least have wanted to do. All right, and I'm gonna give you some options, but then you can add your own too. So and I'm going to give them a little bit of a flair so that maybe they'll have a little bit more interest in them. But town crier on the midnight to 8 a.m. shift, and you have to be naked.
Town crier, midnight to 8 a.m. Well, okay. All right.
So that's your first option. Would you want to walk around...
Well, I mean,
in the mainstream media of the 1300s,
you're the town crier, but it's at midnight, so it's gonna be dark,
right?
So that the embarrassment part's not a problem.
But there's probably still people walking around with lanterns and torches. At
midnight, yeah, probably. I always think people back in those days are just so exhausted because they're bad health that they're just like going to sleep.
That is the way it's sold. Like there was nothing, but they all lived on disease and poverty and
petulance. Catch them.
Yeah. The past does not look good when you look at human past. Now, it's because we just depict it that way because we're so entitled now. We don't really know how great it was to live in those cities.
Yes, and not have bubonic plague.
What would you yell if you're the town crier going around? Because you can say whatever you want. Nobody's regulating you.
It's like, you mean like, put out your dead? Put out your dead.
But you can say anything. You can say, shove your teenage daughter naked out the door.
Out the door. Yeah, or something like that. Oh.
Throw money from your window.
Overthrow the king.
Take a vaccine, mother. All right, so town crier. Second, executioner.
Executioner.
Okay. But only in the female prison.
Guillotine, or could you do whatever
you get the axe, big axe.
Oh, you got an axe, so you have to go down on it. Okay, all right. Female executioner or town crier?
Town crier, get one more coming.
All right,
one armed butter churner.
That's just mean, but some of them can be the best churners.
Surely there have been one armed butter churners in history.
And I'm going to guess that they're extremely good at it because they are compensating and they have, you know, limited other motion.
Imagine the
big arm. Yeah. And they'd have limited other motion. So it'd be more of a straight up and down.
My wife's a butter churner.
Yeah, they can be like, hey. All right, so I choose which one I would want to be, or I can throw another one in there.
Yes, you can throw another one in there, but right now you've got Town Crier, Executioner, and One-Armed Bubba.
Now, if you're a Town Crier, you can say whatever you want, and people can't, you can't be hurt or anything what you say. Is that correct?
Yeah, I assume, right? What would they do to you?
But that would be a big thing. That would be a big decider.
You could make shit up. You could say,
yeah,
you know, the Egyptians have landed.
Yeah. Right. But see, I would probably feel too guilty to mislead people in ways that might.
I think you'd be an awesome public crier, but.
Oh, I could do it. I'm not, there's no doubt I could do it, but it would, I've gotten so old. I'm, you know, I'm sensitive to fake news now. Anyway. Well,
most of it's so boring though. Like you'd just be reporting it's 3 a.m. I'm still walking.
Yeah, it could be fun. It could be fun.
You could sing.
Going, singing, play the banjo. You know, have all kinds of
town banjo,
town crier. That could be a problem because of just the keeping people awake.
But I guess prune. You could prune.
So do people? Did town criers? People wanted them to walk around at midnight.
They were surely they were paid. That wasn't just a volunteer job.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to look into that town crying situation too. But yes, town crying would be good. What was the other one?
Female executioner.
Yeah. No, I'm going to do it. Now, can you choose who to execute?
You're the executioner. I don't know how they give you the job or the people.
Yeah, I think you would just have to be a bloodthirsty person. Now, if I could choose who's being executed, then that would be easy. You know,
do you want to be judge, jury, and executioner? You would take that job.
Oh, that's right. I'd suck the executioner. No, I don't want to do that either. Okay, what's the other one?
The other one was one-armed butter churner.
One-armed butter churner. Okay, I would do that. I would definitely do one-armed butter churner because I think that's a noble thing. And you could just stand there. You can do anything you wanted as a one-armed butter. You could stand there. If somebody came up close to you, you could just keep them in eye contact like that.
You can win arm wrestling matches. Oh, my God.
You could. You could, or masturbation contests. You could, you know, to develop that.
Okay, I got you. So butter churner it is. All right. Your second question here on the weird quiz. Which way would you least like to drink whiskey? So I'm going to give you three options. Which is the least attractive way of drinking whiskey?
Okay.
For you personally.
First.
Okay. First is, it is actually your old granddad and they're pouring it down his chest and you have to drink it like they do at spring break from between the girls.
Yeah. Okay. That's out, but go ahead. You can give me another one in a minute.
It's really good whiskey.
They have, down the street from here around Derby, they get a big block of ice and put it at an angle, and then they carve like a curvy slot through it.
Yeah.
And so you get your mouth down there where it comes out, and they pour whiskey in the top, and it comes down through.
Nice. Have you done that?
I would do it with hair. If there was a hair on it, I wouldn't do it. So, no. And I like old granddad whiskey. It's good. Yeah.
Maybe that's why they call it old granddad. That's how they make it.
It's not filtered.
It's got to be poured over an old granddad.
No, and I actually hate you for putting that image in my head.
The second option.
Listen, now, Dan, let me tell you this. Somebody in Kentucky is going to decide we could come up with a craft bourbon filtered through hair of an old granddad and sell it.
Probably.
They put whiskey barrels on ships now and float it around for a few months. And they claim that the sea air gets into it. And
I like it.
It doesn't, but they claim that it does. and then they sell it for a lot. So anyway, there you go. All right, no on the hair. I'm not going to do the
okay,
hair.
So, well, right. You don't know what's coming, but for that one, none of these are attractive.
Well, I understand. Okay. Well, okay. Right. Maybe I will like the hair. Okay.
All right. Second is that it's an old bottle. It's like a well-aged bottle, but it's found at the bottom of a pile of manure on a farm, and it's probably been there maybe 50, 60 years, and the cork may have been compromised.
Okay. Okay. Well, if it's 60 years, the cork will have been compromised. So it'll be, they don't last that long unless they're under perfect conditions. So really you're not talking about bourbon. You're just talking about shit.
Not necessarily. You don't know.
Well,
like they won't tell you. It may have been compromised, Kirk, but we're not sure. But this is a fine whiskey that's been
manure. It could be that bottle has become so incredibly good, because actually what happened was one little crack of shit came through. It was just one little tiny little thing.
It may be the perfect flavor element. You don't know. Perfect
flavor element. And it happened to be because the shit that was around that bottle came from a lady from Utah who was actually a Mormon that had shit right there. And that little bit got in that bottle. I'm surprised you knew that. That one's in the running.
That one's in the running. Last one, it's a half finished bottle. Found at a murder scene in the hand of the victim that they may have been drinking at the moment when they got murdered.
Okay, so someone has a bottle of whiskey.
They're drinking from it.
Maybe they're drinking from it, or they were, obviously. Well,
let's say they were drinking from it, and they were murdered that exact moment.
While
their mouth was still in contact with that bottle, so there's death.
In the bottle.
In the bottle.
Yeah, but there's alcohol, so that would clear, that would...
Does alcohol clear death?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It's another vapor, that gets in there.
Maybe Grim Reaper misters of alcohol. So if like they show up to bring you, you can just spray them. Spray bottle for the Grim Reaper.
Let's do a little comedian idea. Here's a little thought process for this bourbon, this shit-infused bourbon, all that kind of stuff. The third one, where the poor person is killed, are they shot?
Let's say they're shot, yeah.
Okay, so they're shot.
There's spray, there's
and
blood.
It's sprayed blood, different place, okay. But you're only going to have a little hole open at the top of that bottle. So if they're shot here, the spray would go horizontal.
But what if they're shot in the back of the head? They're shot in the back of the head, so you don't know.
You're shot. It's not going to put a lot of blood in there. It's just going to put a little bit.
But there will be. Let's just both agree. There's a hint of death in that bottle.
Well, you're talking about the psychic part of the world. I'm just talking about if there was a half a bottle of free whiskey sitting there, am I going to drink it?
There's a little bit of victim blood, a little bit of bad vibes, but okay. So make your choice.
I'm going to have half bottle still of whiskey.
Bottle of dead guy whiskey.
I'm going to assume that person did something really bad. And, and we can work by drinking the whiskey.
All right, I like it. Last one. Here we go. Let's okay. roll out here on this this quiz. The best way to get in shape that you would prefer. Okay, number one is it's a barathon, and what happens in a barathon is there are 400 bears that are trained to chase you at set intervals along the Appalachian Trail, and as soon as you escape one, another one is turned loose. So they're slow bears. Like you can outrun them. But they're all around the whole way of the Appalachian Trail.
Okay.
Barathon.
And this is a volunteer activity or just, it just
this is you getting in shape, man. This is just an offering that you could sign up for.
So you can get in shape by
chased
being
by bears.
By bears. I like it, but they're fast.
No, but in this story, you're faster than these bears.
Always faster than the bears. But
it's close. You got to work.
just takes once, you know, and you're going to, you know, what's that old joke? You know, you don't have to be faster than
your buddy, right? Yeah. True. All right. Second one. And this kind of fits into earlier story. I just wrote this, but it surprise alligators that just show up like in your daily life and you have to either fight them or get away from them. So say right now you're sitting here and you look over and a hatch opens in the wall, like a dog door, and an alligator just slithers in.
That's a nightmarish situation.
But you would get in shape. You'd be like,
you would move. Damn,
Kirk, yeah, you're in shape. You're like, well, I got to, these alligators show up out of nowhere. I got to stay in shape.
Okay. Well then I'm kind of for the alligator. We'll see. I've always was excited by shows when I was a kid, and there was one where it was a 007 movie, and there was all the alligators
and he ran
across them. Yeah. And the things are going up. And I thought, well, that was cool. So I'd do that. You know,
One at a time. They're just coming at you one by one.
Well,
okay. Last one. This is an argument race where you have to keep running until you convince a MAGA person to change their mind on something. Like, and they're just lined up and you have to keep going until you get a conversion.
You mean like those spinning the plates and going back and forth? Is that what you do? You have to go around and try to get them. But see, the problem, what does logic work that fast? It doesn't work that fast. That's the problem.
Maybe you can swing back around. Maybe it is a loop. You can just keep looping.
You'd be going like a, you do breathe there.
The Windy 500. Like, you're just arguing around an oval track with NASCAR people.
Absolutely. Well, but you wouldn't see any of them because of the coal smoke coming out. For that thing. All right. Well, hard to pick.
Marathon, surprise alligators, or the Windy 500.
I think the bear run has some appeal to it because there's some real fitness possibilities there. And if you knew that you could outrun the bear, that would reduce stress, but you'd have just enough stress to get moving. So I'd go with the bear thing, you know.
And it's beautiful, the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah, oh, the Appalachian Trail. That was a dream that my brother and I had before we got old and decrepit. You know, it was we're going to hike the Appalachian Trail, which is which I have a lot to say about Appalachia.
I think we mentioned this last time, Appalachia versus Appalachia. I go back and forth. I'm bi on Appalachia.
Hell, I wrote a whole damn show about, you know, critical bourbon theory having to do with issues of Appalachia and Kentucky. But, you know, COVID's kind of slowed that down for now.
We'll
get there at
that
some
damn
point.
COVID.
Well,
cool, man. I think we have fixed America.
Dan, you do it every time, and it's just wonderful because this is the kind of service people need because they really don't use their brains that much. And one of the things I like about you is you actually use your brain and you think about things, and you don't kowtow to too many cliches that form your opinions. So it's all good.
Uses me. My brain uses me. It forces me to do these things.
Well, but you know, some people don't. Some people would rather just kind of sit.
Oh, and you were going to criticize the show. What was your feedback on the show?
On what show?
Remember, you said you had some notes for this show. Like,
oh no, you know, I think what it required was me listening to two or three shows all the way through, so I understood what you're doing. But no, I do. I love it. It's the structure that you put to it with these different questions and all that kind of stuff is wonderful. I just need to be more clear out here these days. I really have been kind of just, my physical shape is just horrible right now.
Yeah, I wanted to get you on here, you know.
I appreciate it. I feel terrible, but I mean, I feel horrible. I'm just like, cancer, baby, you know, whatever. Hey,
yeah, that's a motherfucker.
So I'm going to the doctor here, you know, we'll take care of all that kind of shit. But anyway, it's kind of funny.
All right, buddy.
I was going to do another show called Cancer a love story, or cancer.
I like it. Now that's the title.
A story of loss is going to be one. You know, that I was going to do. And now I'm sitting there, I'm half written through it, you know, because I got through Critical Bourbon Theory, then I didn't do that. And I'd already started writing cancer, you know, love story. And there's a guy here in town who's he's going to kick it pretty soon. He's got all kinds of terrible cancer, but he's got nice dark eye to him, and he's doing stand up now. So I was going to get him to help me do stuff. But you know, hell, man, I live long enough to do it. So no, just kidding.
Yeah, there's a big tradition of that where people have had, you know, health issues, and they'll turn into stand up and stuff.
Absolutely, so, yeah
absolutely. Do it, man. Cancer, a love story. I love it.
Yes, I'm not going to waste it. Yeah, got to do it. So anyway,
all right, buddy. Well, I appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
Kirk Miller.
Well,
fixing America. Y'all come back because there's still going to be more problems next week.
True that. Thanks, Dan. Enjoyed it.